Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 66 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How would you feel if someone said, "May I introduce you to yourself?" That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you're the one so interested in us that in your word you take time to search our hearts. Grant, O God, that as your word does its work in our heart today, we may see ourselves as we are. The sinfulness, but also the potential. And then, Lord Jesus, come in and make us new people in you. That's our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 139th Psalm, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Lord,
How well do you know yourself? Sometimes we hear expressions that cause us to believe that many of us do not really know ourselves too well. Here is an excited person who has just completed some very difficult project. The response is to compliments, "I never thought I could do it. I just never thought I could do it." Well, that person has certainly been underestimated his or her real ability in a particular way. "I just didn't think I could do it." On the other hand, we have those people who sometimes say, "I can't believe that I did such a terrible thing." Sometimes when I read these hideous accounts in the paper of parents killing their children, and you see the distraught look on the face after they have been incarcerated, you wonder if that is what they might be saying. "I can't believe that I ever did such a terrible thing." Well, I wonder, to some extent, if all of us do not from time to time really wonder who we are. If that be the case, friend, would you like to have a better understanding of who you are? Would you like to have God take you by the hand and say to you, "May I introduce you to yourself?" The Almighty God offers to take us by the hand and truly let us see ourselves through His eyes. This is David's request to God in our text today. And are we courageous enough and sincere enough to say, "God, take me and show me who I am. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Not just my emotions, and not just some of the activities that people might see, but you search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, will you, God, and know my anxious thoughts." Well, there's no question that God knows them all, and the psalmist has said that in the preceding verses of our text. "See if there is any offensive way in me," as if David didn't know, "and then lead me in the way everlasting," not just on the trail down the road of this life, but "lead me, O God, in the way everlasting." Well, it's a pretty courageous prayer if you and I really want to utter it in all sincerity. God has sometimes to correct poor understandings of ourselves. For example, if you're one of these people who might be called Mr. Perfect, then God would have to say, "Well, let me try to help you out. You're not perfect," and you might respond by saying, "No, but almost." Then this person has to understand that God has got a little work to do with him or her. He's a person who feels down deep in his own heart, he's convinced of it, that he's seldom wrong. Now you say, "Well, there are no people like that." Try it, friend. Try it and see if there are not people who feel that the world is all wrong, but they're very seldom wrong. Sometimes they're the people who seem to have all of the answers. And if they ever do make a mistake, or if there ever is something wrong, it must be the other person who brought me to it. This is the individual who can be very callous sometimes with the truth. I mean, Mr. Perfect. If it means accomplishing what he or she wants to do, they're willing to tell a lie. There's an awful lot of lying that goes on. Sometimes they say, "Well, I'm just kind of hiding it a little bit. I do it in the name of diplomacy. I do it so that I don't offend somebody. I do it so that I get my job done, and the job is extremely important." And so lying becomes such a part of everyday living that sometimes people are not even aware that they're doing it. You're lying, and you don't always realize it. Such a part of his or her life has become the untruth that the truth sometimes is almost foreign. This Mr. Perfect could be a person who might be a very cold individual and lacking in compassion when it comes to dealing with a situation where people are involved. This kind of a person must feel that he is the kindest, loving person in the world when it comes to certain matters. But when it really gets into a tense situation and he is going to accomplish his goal no matter what happens, get out of my way. Here I come. Mr. Perfect can be that person who thinks that she is the greatest mother in the world. But her children happen to feel differently. She has to be highly involved in many activities to have the feeling of being fulfilled, while her children are being carted around from one person to another for their care. You see, then God takes you by the hand and introduces you to yourself. And you have to say, wow, is this who I am? I can't believe it. Now there's another kind of a person. And if this was Mr. Perfect, how about this Mrs. No Good? Oh, I am no good. I'm not worth very much. I don't have any abilities. They were all given to my sisters. Well, I've never really been in a lot of trouble with people, and certainly not with the law. But if people could dig into my heart, and I notice here the prayer is, O God, search my soul. If they could get into my heart, they'd see that I have some pretty hostile attitudes. I'm really not a very loving person. I have a lot of hate inside of me. I really don't like to admit it. Oh, I might have been very successful as far as society is concerned, financially successful, or successful in my particular work. Down deep, I have a very low self-image. I'm Mr. No Good, or I am Mrs. No Good. God probably doesn't have any time for me. Do you really know yourself, friend? Is there a balance between being Mr. Perfect and Mrs. No Good? Then the question could well be, well, how then do you get to know yourself? How do we get the understanding of ourselves that we really have? Well, I imagine we have to say it's by some personal observation. If a young person is getting high grades and doesn't have to work very hard, he can only deduct that he is a very, very talented person. If he is able to go out for athletic events and get on the first team, he realizes that he's got above average academic ability, athletic ability. If the person can stand up and really sing without too much training, they know pretty well that they can develop that voice if they want to. So I learned that by observing who I really am. On the other hand, sometimes we have the impression of who we are and get that knowledge from those who are round about us. Parents can do that. They can do it on both sides of the coin. That terrible, terrible statement that sometimes come, at least as reported, by certain children, you will never amount to anything, said by a father or a mother to a son or a daughter, can cause that person to feel that way for the rest of their lives and join the group calling themselves no good. On the other hand, if the parent keeps on praising the child and defending the child when he or she is wrong, blaming it onto the teacher or blaming it onto somebody else, it's not my kid's fault, then it's entirely possible that we'll come out with an inflated understanding of who we really are. Sometimes our friends, or are they really our friends? I don't know. Our acquaintances, people who are really diplomatic and who want to be so nice, can give us a wrong impression. I have experienced that as a pastor. After preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning that certainly is far from what it should have been, I stood there at the door. And I would have one person after another go by and say, "A great sermon, Pastor. You are right on this morning." You know, if enough people do that, they can take a terrible sermon and really make it a work of art. And if they do that enough Sundays in a row, then it means that I'm getting the wrong understanding. And lo and behold, I might come up with this, "Well, I'm a pretty good preacher when I am below average," the person could say. You know, I don't mean that there are not times when it is good to shake the hand of a person, a minister I'm thinking of at this particular time, and say, "That really ministered to my heart," and really mean it. But you know, sometimes when people give us false evaluations, the results are that we come out with false conclusions. On the other hand, if you took a pastor in this particular case and criticized him or her one Sunday after another, it could be that pretty soon this person could join the ranks of "I'm no good" too. So here we go to our Heavenly Father. And what does David's prayer say? "Lord, you know me. Now I'm going to ask you to reveal it to me, even though it hurts." And God gets very, very personal. You might have to say, "Face up to it, Mr. Perfect." You're not Mr. Perfect. You are a sinner who is in need of grace. Why do you try to lie yourself out of doing wrong? Haven't you heard that you can confess your sins and I will forgive you? And maybe some of your brethren will do the same. How in the world can you just lie out of something that you know is really wrong? You're just giving the wrong information. Why not confess it? Or you might be ever so pious on the outside, but you're bad-spirited. You use people. You really don't care too much about other people's feelings if it's going to go contrary to advancing your cause. You see, this is God searching us. Where does he search us? He searches us in the Word, friend. That's, again, why we have to live in the Word. Daily, he will search our souls. Why does God do it? In order that you can see yourself and I can see myself as the people we really are. And it is when we are on bended knee and our confession comes forth that God comes forth with this tremendous message: through the merits of Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. And I can make you a new person. You do not have to continue this way. That's what God is anxious to say. But first, he's got to give us a picture of ourselves. He searches us out and lets us know who we are. And then he begins to lift up our spirits, especially to those who are down in the dumps, especially to those who say, "Well, I'm one of those no goods." Oh, you are. You're worth so much, the Lord Jesus is hurrying on to say, that I died for you. Don't you believe it when my word says I loved the world and certainly I loved you? I created you in my image. And when you took that will and resisted me and went away from me, I forgave you. Through my suffering, death, and resurrection, you are forgiven. And now I am anxious to say to you that I can use you. I can use you as my ambassador, and I will make my appeal to this world or some people in this world through you. I will build your ego. I will build your confidence until you can say with St. Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, I'm not Mr. Perfect, not even almost Mr. Perfect. But I am not one of those who is no good, for God has told me what he can do with me. Well, that's a thought or two from this marvelous psalm. I hope you'll live with it. We're not done with this psalm, but time has run out for this program, and God willing, we'll come back next week for some more good thoughts that come to us from our Heavenly Father as we're getting introduced to ourselves by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be
Father in heaven, we pray that we may have a better understanding of ourselves as your Spirit searches our soul in the reading of the Word of God. Make, O God, us willing to take the time to sit with you, that you can be our counselor and guide us and direct us even to the foot of the cross. Hear us as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent on gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $66, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank you for your generosity. We thank each of you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for our program. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. You can listen to this sermon again, or print out this sermon, or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.